Welcome to the Authentic Expert Podcast. We want to help you teach with heart, grow your business, and make an impact. Our mission is to introduce you to the best ideas, practices, case studies, and motivation so you can get dramatically better results with your online courses and your business. Thank you for joining us today. Now let's learn together.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to the Authentic Expert Podcast. Today's guest is Danny Eney, author of Teach and Grow Rich, a new book just released this month that brings a really fresh perspective to online business and to online courses. Danny is one of the few experts in this area who has thought deeply about the bigger picture, not just the tiny tactical details. He's thought about questions like, how is the world of online entrepreneurial education evolving? What's the difference between an information product and a true educational offering? And at the end of our conversation today, Danny has some really intriguing advice that may run counter to what you think you need to do in order to have a successful course. So make sure to stick around to the end to get that coaching from Danny. It might just help you get a whole new perspective on how you should start your course today. And now, on to the interview.
So this is Abe Crystal from RazeeQ, and excited to be here today with Danny Eney from Firepole Marketing. Danny, great to have you on the show.
Abe, thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to this.
So I've gotten to know Danny through his work, his teaching, his writing about online courses specifically, but also participating in his mastermind where he mentors a group of entrepreneurs and really getting to learn his whole approach to building a business and to educating in a deep and interesting way. And it's given me a tremendous new insights into how to approach building an online education business. So I'm really excited to share his perspective with everyone today. And I'd love to start, Danny, just by letting everyone get to know you a bit better. Can you tell us a little bit about your story, how you got into what you do now, and how that led you to this focus on online education?
Yeah, absolutely. So my story starts a long time ago, but I'll keep it short. Mm-hmm. But very ironically, given the topic, which is education and how to build an education business, I like to say that I've been an entrepreneur for longer than my adult life because I quit school when I was 15 to start my first business. I don't have a high school diploma. And it's not because I don't value education. I think education is extremely valuable. I just didn't really jive with the traditional formal systems and structures for doing that. But most of my career was running education companies in different ways, shapes, and forms. And when the last one that I built was basically killed by the recession of 2008, mm-hmm. and I was doing early literacy. We were building software that teaches kids how to read. Mm-hmm. So when all that fell apart, I fell back on my coaching and consulting work, teaching people, and I always saw it as teaching more than coaching or consulting, teaching people how to build their businesses. And, you know, a hop, skip, and a jump later, I ended up where I am now, building and running this company that teaches people how to build their businesses and grow their businesses in an online context.
So do you think you look at education in a different way because you came into your work as an entrepreneur with that different background rather than being traditionally educated?
Most likely. It's challenging to say for sure because I only have the one frame of reference, which is mine. But it's interesting that even though I did all these projects, I didn't see myself as a teacher or educator until later in life. I think fundamentally being a good teacher is just about seeing patterns and complexity and then being good at explaining them to other people, making them accessible to other people, which is what I've always done because I'd find a topic that I'm super excited about and immerse myself in it. I'm very much an all or nothing kind of person. So I kind of throw myself into a topic and read books and books and spend tons of time. And in my excitement, I'd be explaining what I've learned to people around me. Mm-hmm. And it's only later that I realized that, oh, this is kind of what good teachers do.
So along the same lines, the theme of our interviews covers being an authentic expert. And I was curious to hear your perspective on that as your work as an entrepreneur and as a teacher has evolved. What does authenticity mean to you today, and how do you practice authenticity in your business and in your teaching?
I think it's a little bit different in the context of business and in the context of teaching. Not that authenticity changes, but it's the way it manifests changes. I think authenticity is about being true to the human dynamic that is at play. I mean, everything that we do in business or in teaching involves at least two people. There's the buyer and the seller. There's the teacher and the student. There, if you don't have one of those parties, you don't have a transaction, whether it's financial or educational in nature. Authenticity is about being true to the real human dynamic that is at play. And that means being honest, being vulnerable, being sensitive to, you know, those human sensitivities and drives that matter there. And it means recognizing that you've got people on both ends of that transaction, again, financial or educational, and people don't fit into cookie cutter molds, right? A good teacher doesn't deliver the same lecture regardless of who is in the class and how the class is responding. You read the room, you adjust your delivery to the students that are in front of you. If you're tutoring, certainly it's, you're not just kind of going through your routine in the absence of seeing how the student is responding and adjusting based on the student's needs. Likewise, in business, it's about being honest about your story as a seller, your presence and reality as a seller, and likewise, where people are coming from and what they need as buyers. It's about authentic and true in that way.
That's really interesting. It's something that's unfortunately not always practiced, right? It's easy to fall into the trap of just looking at it from how do I move information or how do I drive transactions, not what is the human response on the other side of that.
Well, I think you're right. It is very easy, but it forgets the real purpose of why we're doing things, right? I mean, on the business side, there's the real kind of, you know, caricature of people who are just out to make money, which I think is a twisting of what business is really about. Yes, you have to make money in business. I mean, you and I are both in business. We both want to and have to make money in order to continue to be able to do what we're doing. But there's a higher purpose to it. Business fundamentally, to me, is about finding a sustainable way of achieving whatever outcomes you want to achieve, whatever goals matter to you. And of course, profitability is part of that. Otherwise, it's not sustainable, right? In the context of education, it's about creating, it's about really empowering people with new understanding and ability, right? It's not about the, you know, there's the Mark Twain quote that, you know, school is the process of getting lecture notes from, getting ideas from the teacher's lecture notes to the student's lecture notes without going through the heads of either of them.
Right.
you can parody it as that. You can even kind of, people can take tests and graduate and receive diplomas based on that, but that's not what education really is.
Yeah, I think that's powerful, especially in sort of the online entrepreneur world. We see a lot of people who are so eager to teach that they neglect sometimes the financially sustainable part, and they're not able to achieve their teaching goals without that, you know, and that can be just as dangerous as the other side of getting overly fixated on financial goals and losing sight of the deeper
Absolutely. I mean, it's got to be profitable. You know, people, and this is about my business and my example, but I think there's a really important analog for anyone who's looking to create courses and sell ideas and information and education online. You know, I'm definitely driven by wanting to make an impact. And so, you know, occasionally I'll get a snarky comment on my blog by someone who's saying, if you care that much, why don't you just give it all away for free? And my answer, and there are a few answers. First of all, people don't value what they get for free. They don't invest in the same way. But even putting all that aside, if the impact you could make on a per person receiving it basis were the same and you stood to reach a lot more people, you still wouldn't stand to reach a lot more people because the math is wrong. If I was giving it all away for free, then this would have to be a project that I do on the side because I've got bills to pay. So I've got to have a job of some kind, right? So, you know, the impact I could make would be limited to the impact I can make in a very part-time capacity. Mm-hmm. And since we are building this in a way that is sustainable and viable, I can not only dedicate my full-time attention, I've also been able to dedicate the full-time attention of 25 of the smartest people I know who I've brought to work with me on this team to make this impact, right? And without financial sustainability, your potential for real impact is very constrained.
Yeah, that's really, really powerful. Well, that's a nice lead in then to both the title and the topic of your new book, Teach and Grow Rich. I was very excited to hear that you were writing a book on this topic because I feel like the world of online courses for entrepreneurs and solopreneurs, small businesses, hasn't really been well addressed by specific focused books. There are lots of blog posts and podcasts and plenty of scattered, fragmented information online, and then there are deeper courses and programs, but it's hard to get a concise, focused introduction to these topics in a book. So I was really excited to see this coming out. So I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about, you know, why you wrote this book and what's kind of the key message or you're trying to share with it or the impact you're trying to have with the book.
Yeah, so there's a reason I think why you do see blog posts about this and you hear podcast interviews and there are some courses about how to do this, but not books. And this is something that is new. It is very fast evolving. It's still very, very niche. And those different formats, they really serve different purposes. I suppose there could be room for a book that would be kind of like a how-to, a guidebook. Mm-hmm. Like I could have seen that emerging onto the scene in the last few years. But the thing is that those guidebooks, they become outdated in about 4 minutes, mm-hmm. especially how quickly things are moving. And the format of a book for this topic, it really lends itself well to taking a step back and looking at the big picture, which is something that not a lot of people have done. I don't know that historically there's even been the opportunity to do it, but it hasn't been done, at least to my knowledge. And I felt like there were trends, there were things happening that were worth calling out. And, you know, I do write the blog posts and we do have the podcast interviews and I do teach a course that supports people in creating their courses. But those are not the places to look at the bigger picture. You know, how did we get to where we are and where are we going? And what is the macro view of just what is going on in this space? And I felt that there is enough going on that was interesting and noteworthy and significant that I wanted to share it. This was just the format in which to do it. And it's honestly, it's a little scary. Mm-hmm. I've published books before and they've done very well, but they've all been, you know, Engagement from Scratch was my first big successful book. And I was really creating the book that I knew the market wanted, mm-hmm. Gathering the information I knew they wanted. With The Audience Revolution, I was writing about stuff that people have been asking me about for years that I knew that there was the demand. Whereas with this, I'm kind of going out on a limb to a certain extent. And while I know there is latent demand, we've done a good amount of research in terms of what interest is there in building and teaching online courses, I'm kind of going out on a limb and just saying, this is stuff that I think is important and I wanted to write about and share. So I'm very excited and also very nervous about this book. I feel like I'm being vulnerable with it in a way that I haven't before.
Mm-hmm. So what's kind of the key position that you're taking in this book and how's it different from how people have been thinking about online courses before?
The key position is that for a variety of reasons, historical and present tense, there is a very massive and powerful emerging opportunity for impact, freedom, and wealth for those who are going to become educator entrepreneurs. And there are a lot of factors driving that, but the biggest one is this information education divide. I'll kind of in a nutshell, there are two models of business when it comes to conveying knowledge and empowering others. Mm-hmm. One is a publishing model where you sell information and once people have it, your responsibility to them is over. Mm-hmm. And the real world brick and mortar analog to that is a bookstore. Mm-hmm. You walk into a bookstore, you buy a book, you walk out. Hopefully it's a good book. But once you've got the book in your hand, the bookstore, the publisher, the author, they don't owe you anything else. Mm-hmm. And the other business model is the model of education, where the onus for success is not exclusively on the buyer. It's a partnership between the buyer and the seller, the teacher and the student. So the real world analog to that is a school. And you can't just buy a diploma, but you can buy the opportunity to earn one working in partnership with your teachers, you and them both committed to a shared goal of empowering you to succeed. Mm-hmm. Now, in the offline world, we know that, broadly speaking, information is cheap and education is expensive, mm-hmm. both because education is much more expensive to deliver and also because the outcomes are much more valuable, right? You expect a lot more from a CPR class than you would from a book about CPR. You expect to be empowered to save someone's life in a way that you wouldn't if you just got the book. Mm-hmm. Again, a variety of historical reasons that we can go into or not, up to you. But in the online world, we've kind of arrived at a situation where information, you know, these online courses, quote unquote, but they're really just some videos in a members area. There isn't a real educational experience. There isn't support. It isn't tailored to work with each individual student in the way that they need. It's just information, although a little more fancy. Information is being sold at prices that are only justified for education. Mm-hmm. And we arrived here for, you know, the historical reasons that we arrived here that I explained in the book. But this is becoming unsustainable. Hmm. And it's becoming already very hard to sell information, a lot harder than it was. Refund rates are going up through the roof. A lot of smart entrepreneurs who were selling information are exiting the market and switching to high-priced coaching groups or software or other things because they see the writing on the wall. Hmm. And over the next few years, so when you have prices that are misaligned with value, you know, prices too high, value too low, there's only two things that can happen. The prices can drop or the value can increase. Hmm. And I think in this case, both of those are going to happen. And the market is going to, over the next few years, basically split in two, where on one side, you have information that is much lower priced than it currently is. It's going to drop to, my estimate is about 10% of what people are used to charging. Hmm. So, you know, probably in the range of a few dollars to a few dozen dollars for an ebook at the high end, a few dozen dollars to a few hundred dollars at the very high end for a course. Mm-hmm. And that's what the prices are already at if you look at major information marketplaces like Kindle or Udemy mm-hmm. for those formats. And that's where information is going to go. So unless you can move a very large volume, you're going to go out of business. Mm-hmm. And even if your quality is very high. But on the other hand, there's the education direction, and it's actually going to become easier and easier to charge premium prices for real quality education as people start realizing that education and information aren't the same thing. And so education is worth paying for. A really good analogy that was shared by a mutual acquaintance of ours, Steve Washer, he said, imagine a university where you walk into the classroom and the professor says, all right, I want you to open your textbook and read pages 1 to 242, mm-hmm. and I'll be back after the golf tournament. That's basically the information experience. But now take that a step further. Imagine that that's true of all of the classes except for one. And in that one class, the professor is teaching the whole time. Mm. How hard will it be for that professor to fill his class? It won't be hard at all. And not only that, the students who want to be in that class are the ones who are most likely to succeed because they care about learning. Mm-hmm. So that professor has all the case studies and success stories, which leads to even more students. It's going to become easier and easier to sell real education at premium prices. And this represents an enormous, enormous opportunity that, you know, Silicon Valley companies, investors, they're throwing hundreds of millions of dollars to try to capture this opportunity. But because of some of the financial dynamics at play, and this is explored in the book as well, they just can't do it in a way that individual, independent educator entrepreneurs can, mm-hmm. which is just super exciting to me.
Hmm. Wow, there's so much there. This shift you describe is really exciting. And I hope it's inspiring to the independent course creators who are listening and are, you know, kind of wondering about what is the future of their opportunity. So I very much buy into the way you describe this distinction and the way things are shifting. If I'm hearing you correctly, it sounds like part of what you see is that the idea that you can just provide information and so it can be purely digitally delivered and essentially in some ways passive is becoming obsolete, and education needs to be active in a way that actually involves a human connection, a personal touch of some kind. Is that correct?
It's partially correct. I'm not saying it's going to become obsolete. You know, mm-hmm. the school did not put the bookstore out of business, mm-hmm. right? There is a good complement, but for the bookstore to survive, the bookstore has to do volume, mm-hmm. right? And okay. you can't really thrive as an information seller if you're not doing volume. Like, you know, people talk about the long tail. And this is something that actually excites me, because there's a very unique twist on this with this teach and grow rich opportunity. But the long tail basically says that whereas markets used to be very concentrated with a small number of hits, like there's a few hit songs that everybody listens to and buys the single, mm-hmm. Digital distribution allowed for the long tail, the songs that only five people know about, but they can still reach those five people. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is, this is great for the consumer who gets to listen to the obscure song that they love, and it's great for the aggregator, right? If you're Amazon and you're selling Kindle books and, you know, people are buying five copies of this, five copies of that times a bazillion customers, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. It's not so good if you're the guy selling the book that only five people read.
Yeah.
Right?
Then and we see this dollars for the book. I imagine you do too, that... you know, the independent author or coach or blogger comes in and wants to start an online course business by selling a self-study course where they're not really actively teaching it, and just sell it off their website for $47. And they don't really get anywhere with that model.
Well, the thing is, $47, it's very hard to make a lot of money selling mm-hmm. something for $47 unless there's a large volume. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you can build a course that doesn't require a huge amount of your work. Mm-hmm. It's not that I'm saying you've got to slave away working a million hours in order to deliver a course.
Okay.
Rather, I do think you need to provide students with the personalized support they need, but that personalized support can be pretty minimal mm-hmm. if you build the course right. Mm. And that's the key thing. We talk about, I don't know how deep you want to get into this, I know we're running out of time, but we talk about this idea of piloting. Right, the first time you build a course, you're not going to get it all right. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how good or how smart you are, how well you know the subject matter. There are enough nuances to delivering content in an online environment that you're not going to get it all right from the get-go. So if you give yourself the flexibility to deliver it in a way that's kind of rough and unpolished, and your students know that, and they're giving you feedback in exchange for a discount because they're the first ones in, and you see wherever five people are asking the same question, that question shouldn't be asked in the first place. The curriculum needs to be amended. And if you go through a couple of cycles of that before making your course permanent, those questions won't come up. And the support burden drops very, very low. Mm. And so people really do get the personalized experience that they want and are willing to pay premium prices for, which is huge, without you having to go crazy providing the support.
Yeah, that's really interesting, and I think perhaps finds the happy medium between where people have felt stuck, either on the side of going really low end with self-study courses that they can't do enough volume to make into a real business, or in very high touch, high-end programs that are limited in how many people they can offer them to.
I mean, the key thing is that depending on people's ambitions, you don't need to make that much money, mm-hmm. right? And I'm not saying not to aspire high, but whether you're looking to make $50,000 a year selling courses or $500,000 or $5 million, some of those are very big numbers from some perspectives. But in the grand scheme of things, they're not big numbers at all. Like, mm-hmm. go to a Silicon Valley investor and ask them, will you put money into a platform or a business or a direction that stands to make $5 million a year? And he'll laugh you out of the room. Mm-hmm. And that's why all the big muscle in the business world isn't going after this opportunity. It's wide open for people who do want to make $50,000 or $500,000 or $5 million a year and have the impact that they care about and create freedom and wealth in their lives.
I thought it was really interesting in the survey results that you recently published that, yeah, so many people were talking about what drives them is this desire to sort of control their own destiny in the sense of being able to make their own income through their online education business rather than having to have a job or be delivering services all the time. And like you said, it's not that they don't need a huge number to achieve that, but the sense of autonomy and freedom that they would get from controlling their own income would be really powerful.
It's something really, really special. There's something very unique about this opportunity, and we're running out of time, but let me finish with this thought. What excites me most about this opportunity is not, you know, as a business owner and teacher, as an educator of entrepreneurs, it's not just the opportunity for business success. Because yes, a lot of money is going to be made here. And money being made is always a benchmark for value created because people pay for value. But value isn't the only measure. There's also impact. Mm. And value can be created in parallel with impact that is positive, neutral, or negative. So if you're selling tobacco, that's a very, you're creating value. People value that and they pay for it, but it's a negative impact. The net impact on the world is negative, right? If you're selling people access to the Friends rerun that they've already seen four times, that's neutral, right? It's entertaining in the moment, whatever, but not a big deal. This is one of the very few opportunities where a great deal of value and money are going to be made by creating a very positive impact. Every time money is made, it is by empowering someone to do something that they weren't capable of doing before. That's just magical to me.
Yeah, I love how you put that. Well, but before we wrap up, you've really intrigued us with the vision that you're kind of laying out here in the book. Where can people go to learn more about this and to read all of your take on this opportunity?
Well, the best place really is the book. And you know, we're at a crossroads in terms of digital formats and physical formats. The book is available as a paperback, but it's much shorter than most books. You can read it in a couple hours. Mm-hmm. And right up front with the launch, we're making it available for free. I just want more people to read it. Mm-hmm. And Abe's got a special link to that. Even if it's after the free window, you can opt in there and you're going to get a Cliff Notes summary of the book and a video series where I explain a lot of the key concepts. I just want to get these ideas out there. I think the impact on the world is important.
That's great. So we'll link that up both in the show notes and on the blog so everyone listening can get access to the book and the video that complements it.
Wonderful.
So maybe to kind of wrap up, we talked about some big picture, big vision ideas today to kind of bring it back to you know, the runway and the day-to-day challenges that people have with their courses and their business. What's maybe one action or recommendation you can make for listeners to start creating more authentic and more successful online courses?
Well, the advice that Silicon Valley investors will give to startups there who are looking to just get started and get traction is to do things that don't scale. Hmm. And that's the same advice I would give to aspiring educator entrepreneurs and course builders. As we discussed a little bit about the piloting process, when you're just getting started, don't invest in high quality video and super scripted lessons and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Let it be rough around the edges. Charge a little less. Tell people that's the case in exchange for their feedback. Do something that you can deploy quickly and adapt on the fly so that you can learn from the experience that you go through when you're delivering it and see how people respond and absorb it so you can make it better. Ironically, it's great for you because you're going to get, you know, you're going to make money and create an impact a lot faster. But it's better for your students too, because it means you can adapt on the fly to create a better educational experience for them.
Wonderful. So if someone listening is just getting started and feeling intimidated by the polish or, you know, the production value that they see in expensive courses they may have seen or taken, you're saying instead, embrace kind of your ability to be a startup, to be scrappy, keep it really rough, move fast, and learn from people, and instead of worrying about, yeah, what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
I love it. Well, thanks so much, Danny, for sharing your vision for the space. It's really, really exciting to me, and I hope a lot of people get inspired by this book and by your video to really begin working deeply on building their own online education business.
That is my hope as well. Abe, thank you so much for inviting me to do this.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen in today. And I hope Danny's look at the big picture gives you fresh energy to approach the challenge of building your online course business. Personally, I love his idea that as entrepreneurs, we have the ability to do things that don't scale. We can bring a personal touch and voice to our work that makes it unique and valuable. And we don't have to invest in fancy, expensive videos to create a course that matters. So to review other big ideas from Danny, head over to AuthenticExpertPodcast.com and get our top takeaways from this interview. And if you're ready to dive in right now, I'd invite you to hop over to StartMyOnlineCourse.com. That's StartMyOnlineCourse.com. Over there, we've asked Danny to provide a free PDF summary and a video presentation for you that goes into more depth on the themes we discussed in the interview. I think you'll really enjoy it, so make sure to grab that PDF and interview today. Stay tuned for more interviews with other inspiring teachers and coaches in the future, and I'll see you next time.